Buddy, welcome in here tonight with us live on the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard. We've got some great information for you. We'd like to share it with you. And relationship to the 33rd parallel, some of the mysteries of the earth that we're going to talk about tonight. And we're going to begin with the thought of over two-thirds of the wealth that is in the world. This is amazing. It's stored on or near the 33rd parallel. What's so amazing about that is this, that the blessings covenants that is promised in the Bible is given within the relationship of east-west. And if you look at the north, it's too cold, the south, pole is too cold, barren, and unyielding. So, north-south, what is so significant about east-west? Well, the 33rd parallel runs along that direction. And America, well, if you would say, for instance, Charleston, South Carolina, San Diego, California, going into Babylon, the Euphrates, which a lot of people believe that the cradle of civilization and the Garden of Eden, for that matter, was in this general 33rd degree area of the earth. Amazing, isn't it? 33 has always been a number that fascinates people. And, of course, in the Bible, it's mentioned quite a bit in the Bible. Now, we know that the assassination of John F. Kennedy was on Elm Street, of all places. You know, the Freddy Krueger deal, the movie that became so popular, the frightening nightmares that they endured with the demon that came out was on Elm Street. But it just so happens to be that Kennedy was assassinated in 1963, and the symbols that are, that can be fitted into his death is to me, is fascinating. The mystery of Kennedy's death has never been solved. The similarities between Lincoln and Kennedy, the reverse, and yet the parallels that equal both, ties them together in history 100 years apart, is amazing again. Kennedy was shot while he was riding in the back of a limousine on, like I say, on Elm Street in Dallas, Texas, just south of the 33rd degree of latitude, which is known as the 33rd parallel. So the United States nightmare on Elm Street happened in that area. That was a tragic, very sad event. Probably if you were living at the time and you were old enough to remember, you probably knew what you were doing when you got news of his death. It shocked the nation. And yet there was some people in the nation that it didn't shock. Now, a trained assassin got the blame. You see, it seems like if some of these puzzles and great mysteries along the 33rd parallel we're going to talk about tonight, they have the fall guy. They have the scapegoat. And then along comes the hitman, and the fall guy that took the fall becomes the victim, and he don't live to talk. Isn't that strange? Well, just so happened before there was ever a trial, Jack Ruby, who shot Oswald, died of cancer, became very sick and ill, and all of a sudden he dies of cancer real quick, and all the witnesses are dead. And, you know, they trace the mafia, the Cuban connection, and down in New Orleans, they investigate the mob and things of this nature. But reckon it was a higher power that did these things to someone who was beginning to get very close to, for one thing, Mr. Kennedy had pledged to restore the power of the United States government to print its own money. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, the United States prints its own money. That's a joke. But you don't know that the Federal Reserve is in charge of money. This is international banking system that we are indebted to. We are trillions. Ladies and gentlemen, this is so sad. Of a nation that is the most wealthiest nation upon the earth through the manipulation of the formation of the Federal Reserve, one of the greatest heists in history of people who have come together to collaborate and to plot and to plan the demise or the raping of the wealth of the nation and they're destroying its infrastructure. Where right now, our jobs are going alarmingly so. We're becoming a servitude nation, not a product nation. We no longer have the power to produce with labors. I mean, we started the automobile industry here. The airplane industry was here. And when I say was, we are fast becoming a nation of people that import rather than export. I mean, the balances between the two systems is, I mean, it's amazing. I'll give you an example. Just like China. Let's just take China, for instance, and we have many trading partners around the world. China has become the largest exporter of commercial goods in the world. And the reason why is because they have so many millions of people that will work for low wages, at least a good 60% of all of our electronic industry is divided up between India, China, and Japan. Of at least 40% of the Silicon Valley, which is barely hanging on because the workers there demand so much or higher pay that, you know, you can get a chip made and designed in America and engineered and all the technology of the world, the vast amount of technology that has been invented in the last 100 years is accredited to the ingenuity of the Yankees of the United States of America. Shows you that we are a blessed indeed nation, but somebody has got a plan and a plot to wickedly, corruptly rape this nation of its wealth and infrastructure, destroy it piecemeal, take it down, and move it right under our nose when we're all arguing over who ought to be president. And you very well know if you vote, if you still are into the voting scheme, it's not those who vote, it's those who count the votes. And we got six of one and a half a dozen other of the two candidates that have any chance to be elected president, Curry or Bush. To me, they're six of one and a half a dozen. And both of them are Skull and Bones members, which we're going to talk about, the number 33, seen in many different areas of our life. And in that sense, it's seen in the Bush family and the Curry family. Curry now is promoting his Jewish roots. And very strange that they do that at this particular time, but that's what they do. So then we're going to talk about this. Now, this is Pastor Buddy and Shepherd Call. We're live. Today's the second day of August, and the time here is we're at 5:12 here in the Pacific time zone, and we're 8:12 in the Eastern, 7:12 in the Central, and 6 in the Mountain Zone. So we're just moving along in the time zones, and we hope that you have become an habitual listener to the National Association of Micro Reed Broadcasters, which is now on the air. And we are thankful that we have a voice here to share some of our beliefs. We don't ask you to believe everything we believe because we're not 100% right on everything. We just like to give you a different perspective of viewpoint. You can take the differ if you like. That's your prerogative. And I'm so thankful that we still live in a country where that's true. But it seems that more and more that we're being dictated to and talked to in the corruptible form of someone telling us when to get up, when to go to bed, and, you know, and what to do, and when to, where to put our money and our life savings and things of this nature. We're not sure. You know, I listened to my dad talk about the 1929 crash and the economic woes. And then we had a savior come on the scene. That was Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And he miraculously put America back to work. We had what we call the CC camps down here. Control Corporation is basically what it was. So CC was an adequate identification. And then the government hired these workers here in the South. I don't know how it was in other places because I lived here in the South. My dad did. And he said that, you know, they would work for 50 cents, 75 cents to a dollar if they got on the CC council. I think a dollar a day, they'd bring on $5 a week. And man, how tickled they were because that's the only money that they had. $5 would buy a lot of things. And it helped restore the poor because the 1929 crash destroyed much of the financial base of the wealth of Americans who had trusted in the banks. And when they closed these Federal Reserve banks, you say Federal Reserve banks were operating then? Ladies and gentlemen, in 1933, when Roosevelt, see, this is how they work things. He confiscated all the gold, he rounded it up, and it was illegal for you to have any hoardings of gold. Because all of a sudden, you were no longer in just weights and balances, which is the biblical justification for having wealth. And they changed the standard to the Federal Reserve note. And then the devaluation of it, or the worth of it, I don't know what's worth now, you know, not much more than the paper it's wrote on. Especially in the World Trading Centers, because the dollar is losing its value. And it's losing its respect around the world, just like America. And the economic woes that we face are staggering. I mean, the debt ratio to import-export, our income is eating up our outgo, that's for sure. Because our outgo is going in faster than our income. And so then we become a debtor nation, a borrowing nation. And the Bible says that's a curse. You'll recognize a cursed nation until you look at its financial statement. And a financial statement of America is that we are a debtor nation. We don't loan like we used to. We used to loan to other nations. Now we don't do that. Did you know that all the property, all the federal property is mortgaged? Did you know that your birth certificate is mortgaged into the second person? First person is now an inactive person because of the bankruptcy, which was formalized in 1913. We're in a dire strait. The number 33, if you look at the human foot, it has 33 muscles. Isn't that strange? You have 33 vertebrae. Isn't that something? threw me about this. Did you know that the number of turns in a complete sequence of human DNA equals 33? I want to repeat that. That's something to think about here. The number of turns in a complete sequence of human DNA equals 33. The Holy Bible, under certain versions, uses the word 33 seven times in seven verses. King David reigned in Jerusalem for 33 years. Isn't that strange? The Leviticus chapter 12 discusses purification after childbirth. And in Leviticus chapter 12, verse 4 states that after the boy is circumcised on the eighth day, then the woman must wait 33 days exactly to be purified from her bleeding before she can become back into as a natural citizen with rights, because those rights were taken away for 33 days. How long have we got until our rights in America, as free people, we should be a government of the people, and now we are people of the government. We wait for our Social Security checks, our handouts, our little measly, we have to beg an incentive and beg for like a little puppy. They would beg for a dog biscuit. We're treated like second, third-rate citizens when other immigrants can come in that don't even belong to our nation. They have nothing to do with building it and maintaining it and promoting it. So they come in. They're welcome. The borders are open, ladies and gentlemen. But we get all these third-world country people, and we're fast becoming a third-world country, and I don't know why, other than they have, somebody's got a plan. It's not to bless this nation and make it the nation of the head, it is now quickly becoming the nation as a tail, like Mexico. It's been a tail-end nation supported by the International Confederacy of Other Nations, which are the International, the World Bank, which is controlled by the international bankers, and every nation that doesn't promote or go along with the ideals that the international banking system has got, then they chastise you. And so then you have to play ball. And all nations are coming into a federation of a new world order that's been promoted by our presidents since the 30s, starting with Roosevelt. And it goes on and on and on and on and on and on. What are we going to do? Well, is there anything we can do? Of course there is. Information is the key. My people, Hosea 4 and 6, the Bible says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And great men, you see, information is critical. It's vital to the lifeblood of the people. Once we are controlled by disinformation, and ladies and gentlemen, there is so much disinformation that is in the pike, coming down the turnpike or in the pipeline, that our ears are daily filled with the disinformational information that is used to brainwash and control, victimize, and make us afraid. And so therefore, we gladly sell out our liberty and rights to be protected by Big Brother. Folks, what do we have to fear except fear itself? If we can stand up as a people united with knowledge, knowledge is power. A pen is mightier than the sword. To inform the people is liberty. To misinform the people is bondage and slavery. And that's exactly what's going on today within our own ranks. Right among us, we have let the fox into the hen house. We have filled our nation with citizens that are not of our nation. You say, well, we've long opened our borders to all peoples of all races, all creeds and colors. That wasn't true 100 years ago. This has only happened within the last 50 years in critical terms because they have maneuvered those who control our government and its thinking apparatus. and his decision-making policies. You see, if you get a good president in there, he's controlled by a shadow. Somebody behind the scenes pulls all the strings. It's just a figurehead position. Oh, yeah, he runs around, flies around on Air Force One, and he seems important, and that's all for public display, a model, if you will. Do you know that Christ, our Creator, was 33 years old when he was killed near the 33rd parallel? Did you know that 3% of the world's population control 97% of its wealth, which is stored, as I said, within a comfortable zone of the 33rd parallel? Oh, man. I don't know. Maybe that we should take a poll in America and just see how many people are informed enough. That's why it's so important, folks, to get alternative talk radio. This is an internet connection that is made possible by the members of the National Association of Micro Broadcasters, good men, sound minds, with a love for the nation, deep flowing in their veins, come from good stock, people that want you to really know what's going on in America. You ought to appreciate and support. Instead, we are linked into the modern, if you will, multicultural exchange of the doctrine of the 501(c)(3) bound together churches of humanism. Well, it's not what's good for Christians who confess Christ. That's racial covenant. It's good for humanity. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that in humanity, that is outside the realm of Christianity, that they've taken the rights of the Christians away in this nation, our liberal judges, Supreme Court, executive branches, very, very subtly, they have come in, crept in unaware, and changed the codes and the laws to where that we're tried in admiralty, we're not tried in republic constitution, you don't have any rights no more. We've got political prisoners in America that is treated worse than the dogs and all they did wrong, but they love their country who spoke up and out against the tyrants and the dictators and the soon coming encroachment of a new world order. Well, why would anybody do that, Pastor Buddy? Only criminals go to jail. Well, that's true. Christ was a criminal. I mean, he went to jail. These secret societies, they were formed even back then, were operating falsely, promising something better than what the true Messiah had to offer. They said, away with him, kill him, away with him. Because they didn't want any truth. Christ gave just rates and balances. You know, when he told Peter, when he wanted to pay his taxes, you know what mode of method it, that Christ recommended to pay the taxes with? It wasn't a coin of Caesar because they were there, because Christ asked for one. When he said, they asked him, who are we supposed to obey? And he asked for a coin, and they handed him a coin from the Roman government with Caesar's picture stamped on the coin. And he said, render unto Caesar what's Caesar, but render unto God what's God's. Just weights and balances, silver and gold, which is a just weight of measurement for barter services, for services and goods. They don't have any of that anymore. He said, well, it's not illegal now to have gold because I've got a big pile of it. You probably, like other dumb Americans, have got this gold trading on a money market. And all you've got is a gold certificate. You're a fool. Anybody that is foolish enough that you take the valuable currency of gold, which is a just weight for exchanges of services and goods, and then they write you, they ask you to buy like 5,000 other ones to go. Now, okay, you buy it. They send you a gold certificate, a piece of paper, that you now own $5,000 worth at the current price, whatever it would be, that you own that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, my question to you is, when things get bad or the system fails, you say, well, buddy, we're too big, we're too powerful, we're not going to fall. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, with the 99 scare of Y2K, they wouldn't have had made money off that, but the government, they were the one promoting the scare. They did things deliberately through disinformationists to pass it along that the computers could fall and we could be under the mark of the beast and all the stuff that they came out with. And so people bought literally millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars of food, stored it up, got ready for the fall, because they were told by these disinformations and these preachers and these radio talk informationalists that were paid handsomely to do what they'd done, deceive the very elect. And what the Bible says, what's going to happen? People are going to be eating right and being married, so you don't need to store up any food. Because when Christ returns, people are going to be eating and drinking. There's not a famine in the land for bread and water. It's from hearing the truth. And that's what people need. Oh, yes, I believe in storing food and keeping at least. You see, the Mormon Church has got a pretty good thing going. They require all of their members to have at least 2 years of supplies of basically what they had put up themselves. Now we've got into the modern era of dehydrated food, and it's got a shelf life of 18 to 20 years. That's great. And if you can afford it, it's extremely high. If you can afford it, it'd be wise to do so, because an ant will prepare its food in the summer. When winter comes, you will see an ant out trying to chase down a morsel of food over the snow. He's in that where it's warm and cozy, and then he's working in the summertime. Well, that's what the Bible wants us to do, is to prepare. But ladies and gentlemen, how are we going to prepare unless we prepare our hearts? We don't prepare, we need to prepare for Babylon. We need to prepare to meet God on the standard basis of truth. That's what we need to prepare for. Nobody's telling you that. You're scaring the living hell out of you every day of your life, saying that. That hate speech and being indicted and convicted for using the Bible, it's coming soon to a neighborhood near you. And so these 501(c)s, they adhere to the teachings of the 501(c) contract that they sign. If you've ever read one of them, you'd be appalled at the condition that you have to meet before you become a member of a 501(c) team. It shouldn't even be hung in the halls of our worship centers. It is nothing but humanist teachings when the Bible itself is a racial covenant contract with a few people, not the many. And I said that I started this message out on the serpent race, that the seduction of secret societies is as old as the Garden of Eden, when the serpent beguiled Eve, saying to her, you shall not surely die. Ladies and gentlemen, you know that we are now fixed to die at a certain age. Did you know that Adam lived to be 930 years old? Those are 969. I mean, these men live long lives. What's cut this lifespan down? Plain, evil, and sin. The wicked will not live out half their days. If you die at 49, I might tell you something. You go around sipping on Diet Coke all day long, and you don't know the dangers of what's been added to it. I mean, we're enticed. We're hooked. We're a drug-filled people, especially in America. I mean, our elderly have got so scared that they are a living pharmacy, walking pharmacy. When they go home, their pill box has to go along with them, and it's huge, and it's growing every day. Well, an ever-conceivable drug that the government can manufacture under the pharmaceutical giants that are doing nothing but killing us. Yet they promise us liberty, and they themselves are servants of death, and they're doctors of evil. Praise Allah. And you say, well, what do you believe in, buddy? I believe in the righteous diet of the Bible. Eat good food, work hard, love your neighbor as yourself, and love Yahweh with all your heart so much, and you learn the problems physically. You're going to be all right. But you see, we work in an environment that is purposely, right now, being polluted to cause your demise. You say, oh, buddy, you're just paranoid. Well, evidently you haven't looked up what they're spraying up there, or what you see, like white, nice, gentle puffy clouds spreading out from behind a plane. If you really want to know the substance that's in there, you need to check with your federal government. But they won't tell you. Now, are they spraying it for national security? I mean, are they involving themselves in your daily activities of your life for your own good or for the good of those who are trying to control you? Are you being scared purposely to sign away your liberties and freedom? I think so. You don't have nothing to fear but fear itself. And when you begin to pray, the Bible says fear has torment. Of course, we are a tormented nation of drug, pill-popping people. We don't turn to the giants of old and look at their examples. The Bible said follow examples of the Bible. Now, when Satan opened the eyes of man, that's been our downfall ever since. We've been seeing, hearing, tasting, feeling, and touching, and smelling. It smells good, looks good, and tastes good. We're going to take it. I guarantee you. And that's our problem. I've seen so many people, we talked about Diet Coke with aspartame. Look up the word aspartame and do a study on it and see what it's doing to people's brains. No wonder that Alzheimer's plaque on the brain, that's all it is. It's a disruption of the brain cells. As they plaque out, they decay. They basically plaque. It's some type of a plasma that spreads. It's like a corruption in the brain. It's literally what it is. And it shorts out the nerve circuits of the brain, and memory lapse causes the disconnection of thoughts into the mind. You know what the Bible says? That we have a sound mind. Christ has given us a sound mind. But we can't have a sound mind if we want to stay in Babylon. We've got to come out of Babylon. The Bible said, come out of my people. And you say, well, Babylon's powerful, and Babylon sets the example. And yes, Babylon is humanist, but, you know, I'm a human, and so I need to participate and go along with the agenda. Folks, if we go back to our churches, open them up, and sweep out the false prophets of the 501(c) agenda, sweep them out into the yard, hang them to a sour apple tree, whatever it takes to get rid of them, send them packing with no salary, and preachers are now paid so good, and so lucrative, that they're into the ear-tickling business of the truth preaching business. Truth makes you free. Lies set you free. Now, there's a difference between set free and made free. When you're made free, there's nothing to bind you. When you're set free, you have perimeters. For instance, if you take a tiger out of the jungle, which is set free, he has no boundaries, and then put him in a cage as big as an acre field, you've set him free. But his boundaries are, the perimeters of the boundaries, an acre. He can only travel an acre when he had millions of acres to roam in at his own liberty, wherever he chose to go. Well, that's set free. But you're not really free, because when you get up to the perimeters and the boundaries, that's exactly what they're trying to present to you. When they promise you liberty, they are setting you free, not making you free. Now, here's the difference. Our forefathers wanted to be made free. They took the Bible to their lawful executive and judicial settings. They looked in the Bible for guidance. They prayed to a Christian God. And now we can't even say a prayer to Christ and use his holy name in the assemblies where that the ACLU and the liberals of this nation have perverted to the point that it is not proper to address a Christian God and a federal government because we got separation of church and state. Well, they don't separate when they come for their money. They give you a 501(c)(3) exempt status. But if you don't have it, they demand that you pay them a fee to have a worship center. That's not liberty. That's set free. They have perimeters on the ability for you to have your freedom. There's no freedom in America. Matter of fact, there's more freedom now in Russia than in America. And that's, I'm telling you, I've never thought that I'd hear myself saying that. But in the 50s, we were told that Russia, ladies and gentlemen, Russia has one of the largest Caucasian Christian populations in the world. You weren't told that. That was a government that was formed there in 1917, a revolution that started, and it removed the Christian czars that confessed Christ from the Christian nation. And they brought in communism, all things in common. You ever heard that? Acts chapter 2, verse 1. All things in common. And by a group of people, you would be surprised if you really knew who they were. You need to write past your buddy, and I'll give you information who they were. I'm telling you, folks, they're now here. And we are gradually being programmed to accept a communist set-free nation rather than a Christian made-free nation. And that's the difference. They hate Christ. They're anti-Christ. You know what I'm talking about. If you don't, you need to get with the program. Who's Antichrist? Everybody that's against Christ. All of your Supreme Court. They sit there as very saintly, wise directions of the judicial branch for the executive branch and the Congress to make its laws, and then they get the final word of how to execute those laws and what's right and what's wrong. I'll guarantee you one thing. Right now, if the nation was given a vote, a mandate, that we could restore our right of made free right, a constitutional right to have a constitutional federation and republic government, I guarantee that the vote would be the majority. You see, they're not going to give you that chance. They're going to water it down. They're going to code it. They're going to disguise it and promise you liberty, but they're going to give you, well, they're going to give you captivity. And that's what the Bible said, that the beast is going to take the world into captivity and all the world's going to wander after the beast. It's just that way. Secret societies often determine in the depths of changes to take place on the surface. They go behind closed doors and make the mandates and the rules that will change societies of the world. The only one in which the number 33 is important is the secret cult of blank, 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 blank. I'll leave that blank for you for just a moment. Which mixes a brew of symbols from Egypt, the Bible, Persia, alchemy, and twisted occult imaginations. And now, men with three-piece business suits attend regularly. Need I say more? Ladies and gentlemen, the Great Pyramid was built in Egypt by masons at a location not far south of 30 degrees latitude and on 31 degrees longitude. How the Great Pyramid was built is unknown, but we know that it was stone masons that built it. But these were the righteous stone masons. You see, not saying that we got false salvation, because there's a lot of good nations around the world. They do good, credible work. But if we go to the top of that pyramid, it starts 33rd degree, and then we go toward the top, over the 33rd degree, beyond the bounds of openness into secret chambers, we might find a different story of what it's designed there for. So this is basically what we're talking about. In 1882, Donnelly, a U.S. congressman in Minnesota, brought the legend into the American consciousness with his book, Atlantis, The Antediluvian World. In more recent years, had become a major question in the minds of a lot of people. Was there a civilization that was destroyed long before we start with a new episode of Adam and Eve? Now, we'll give you a scripture and you think about this. To show you that there was a world that pre-existed before Adam, the Bible emphatically states that Adam came back for one purpose and one purpose only. Now think about this. He came back to replenish the earth. Now replenish means that a disaster of an enormous magnitude, a catastrophe, catastrophic, something happened that caused the earth to shake and reel to and fro like a drunken man. Well, now listen to this scripture. The Bible said there's nothing new under the sun, for what is to be has already been. Well, if we're heading back to the same stupid mistakes that they made, then there's no hope for this world, let alone this nation. And unless we pull it together and return back to the Christian God that we're denied access to control the minds of the people and the government. You see, if we don't restore Christ back on the throne of this nation, because he's been dethroned through the power of government. The government is an antichrist organization, whether you like it or not. You say, well, our president goes to church and carries the Bible. He can't take that same Bible and go to his office and preach from the Oval Desk of the Oval Office. You've never seen him pick up a Bible in the Oval Office. You may see him carry one in. I've never seen him open it, but he does carry one, where he's a figurehead for show, and I believe that's for the Christian nation. I think that's for their consumption. I'm not so sure that our president is a Christian. I've never heard him confess the name of our Savior. He'll say he believes in God. Well, a lot of people believe in God. There's many gods. What God does he believe in when he confesses? I've never heard him say that. Maybe we could get him on record. Somebody needs to get him on record. I've never heard him on record. As a matter of fact, I've never heard any president, outside of perhaps Ronald Reagan, confess the name of our Savior in a public setting. And remember Jimmy Carter. He's supposed to be a devout Christian. All these people working for somebody else. And they're just trying to make us think they're Christians? Is Christians just for general public consumption, and then after the closed doors, they become a godless antichrist power to take down the Christian nation, and the life stronghold of the Christian faith is right here in America. Ladies and gentlemen, the Babylon is on its scene. 1704 B.C., the Babylon Empire was based in Babylon near the 33rd parallel. The empire stretched from the Persian Gulf to the middle of the Euphrates River and upper Tigris River regions. The last great kings of the first dynasty developed this legal code in order to be enfaced on a rock column and placed in the temple of Shamash, the god of justice for all to see. And this is the god legal justice system of Babylon. Humanism. all men were created equal. That ain't the Bible. That's humans saying that. There is a particular people in Europe that excel and are far greater and more valuable than any people in Europe. They're Christians. People that hold values of a risen Savior. They're the only ones that confess a risen Savior. The rest of the religions in the world deny that a Savior has risen for us and shed His blood for us. This is racial covenant. They don't want that. What's wrong with the world today is we've become, Christians have become soft and dumb. The Bible depicts us and puts us in a category of dumb sheep led to the slaughter. Folks, we're going to wake up before this slaughter comes about. The Bible says the beast power is going to rise up and it's going to bring a power and a war against Christians. Anytime that we smell for coffee here brewing in a pot and call coffee coffee, call an ace and a spade, and you go, one of the most important archaeological mounds in Israel has the remains of a historic city. It was a fortified place that sat strategically on the ancient front road from Egypt to Syria and Mesopotamia near the 33rd parallel. It served as an important junction and battleground, a battlefield throughout history. It is mentioned in an Egyptian document over 3,500 years ago, and believe it or not, it's mentioned in our Bible. Final battle. You're going to be surprised where it's going to be fought. It's not going to be fought over in the sandbox. It's going to be fought right here on the shores of America, not in Tripoli, as the Marine Fight Song says, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. This next one is going to be fought right here in good old America, USA. Jerusalem, USA, right embedded in the New Jerusalem. This is the prize. This is the plum. This is the great nation that they want to take down, the Antichrist, the godless society. And our Christian people are sitting back and letting it be done. Thank heaven for radio stations like National Association of Micro Rebroadcast. These are a conglomerate of people that broadcast downlinks all across the nation, these little low-power FM stations. This is a flagship station here in Utah, 100.3 FM, that sends this voice around the world. Anybody can connect. It's got an internet connection to the internet around the world. And anywhere this is downloaded on the satellite signal to the rebroadcasting systems around the world here in America, particularly, this message can be heard tonight. But whatever it's worth to you, whatever that we've got to say, if it helps you in any way, then we've done our job, is to wake you up. That's why we're here. We're not here to argue or to fuss about religion or things of this nature. We're here to lay the facts on the table, and it's good, cold, hard facts. We say some things sometimes that may make you mad, but you don't have long to get glad, and you better get right. That's what you better do. You better ask for the ill path. You better see the ill path. And when you find it, you're going to walk in. Remember at Carmel, Mount Carmel in Galilee, near the Sea of Galilee and the land of ancient Israel. It's less than 20 miles south of the 33rd parallel. There, the prophet Elijah stood against 850 heathen humanist prophets, and he defeated them. Ladies and gentlemen, he's going to take a few and defeat the many. If you ever read the Book of Prophecy of America, you always thought it was over there in the sandbox because the evangelist and the Scofield converts, you got to know what kind of agenda he had when he put his footnotes in the Bible, and most of the evangelists and preachers of the 501c agenda, they read his notes and followed his advice and deceived the very elect. Because you know where Israel is. Israel's not there where they call it the sandbox. That's not Israel. Israel is a 12 tribes scattered abroad in a nation that's under assault from a communist manifesto. If you've ever read the book of the Learned Elders of Zion, you know what I'm talking about. You better wake up. You better get with the program and come up to speed. Give us some support. Give us some feedback. If you'd like to call me tonight, I got to get out of here. My time is just zipped on by. Call me at area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to write me, this is Pastor Buddy, you can write me at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. My email number is buddy1@centurytale.net. Drop me a line. This is Pastor Buddy. I'll see you tomorrow night live on 100.3 FM on the flagship station and around the world on the internet and the downlink feeds to Michael Broadcasting. Yahweh bless you is my prayer. I'll see you on the rebound here with the Shepherd's Call. Thank you.